Hello, hello! Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Kendall Scudder, not here with Lillian Salerno, because Lillian is, you know, flying around the country. She got her second vaccine, and so she's going crazy, I suppose. So I instead am here with my dear friend, the 2018 and the 2020 Democratic nominee for House District 112, in Eastern Dallas County, Brandi Chambers.
Hello, everybody.
Your line there is hi, how are ya?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, how are ya? I thought that was your line.
Brandi, you get to sub in for Lillian Salerno. We have not
I feel special.
We have not done a sub in episode since that time I went on a cruise 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah,
so I feel special. I get to be Lillian's mini me, I guess, and you know,
yeah,
I'll take that.
Well, Lillian is actually, the real problem is that Lillian is traveling from Cabo to Mexico City, and so she's on a plane, and we weren't able to ever get this sucker scheduled like we should. So, thanks for filling in for her today, Brandi.
No problem.
You know, may not be aware of your race in 2020. One of the biggest heartbreakers in Texas lost by, you know, way less votes than you did.
Or 222 votes out of 69,000.
Out of 69,000. Less than 2018. When most candidates actually were underperforming 2018 numbers, you did a lot better. How are you doing now that you are joining the ranks of the multiple or lovable multiple losers? See, Lillian's a lovable loser. I'm a lovable multiple loser, and you've officially joined.
We need a logo and a patch or a hat or something like that. I think that would make it a nice little tight club.
It's like getting in the military, as you get promoted, you get extra
exactly. Bars for everyone you use, just another bar. That'd be great.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, weirdly enough, I took it a lot better than my first loss. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just I've done this before, you know, old hat now.
First loss is always the worst loss. You will always be bitter about it.
It was pretty brutal. It was pretty brutal. But this time, I really felt like, you know, for the most part, we did everything that we could. We did improve where everybody else fell short. I loved my team. I mean, we laid it all that we could in a pandemic and did what we could. So I'm proud about the race. And then afterwards, it was hard because I really thought I was going to win, especially at the beginning of the night when I came out ahead and was winning through most of the evening. That was a bit of a heartbreak. But you know what? It's been great. It's nice after 4 years of constantly being a candidate to not be one and to just hang out with my friends and family and not feel the pressure of a campaign.
There's something very liberating about not being a candidate.
It is. It feels like I just got a big wet blanket taken off of me. I can breathe. I can run. I can do whatever. It's extremely freeing. And I've really been just kind of embracing that. And I moved, so I got a bigger house, sold my other house.
Did you leave town?
I did not leave town.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, I didn't even leave my district. I just actually moved a little bit north, and that was it. Still same district as of right now.
I now live in a log cabin in the middle of rural Montana.
Yeah, exactly. As long as I can get Netflix, that would be great. So did that. What else? Been doing renovations here. I have taken it upon myself to help expand Garland area Democrats and Rowlett Democrats and try to create more of a grassroots movement in this area to kind of bring about a Democratic community, which we are lacking right now. And I saw that very actively through both of my cycles of running. So I'm just going to be, the person behind the scenes for right now, trying to make stuff happen, but I'm not giving up on Texas and not giving up on it flipping blue, you know?
Being behind the scenes is a lot more fun, for sure.
It is way more fun.
I have just been working and trying to help these municipals, which I've been talking about quite a bit, but I did do something exciting. I bought tickets to go see Lillian in Mexico.
Nice. When are you going for that?
That will be next week. So we will definitely be doing some Patreon episodes for people while I'm in Mexico with Lil. That will be a lot of fun.
I've never been to Mexico
City. Have you ever been to Mexico?
I've been to Mexico, but not Mexico City. I have never been internally. I've always been like on a beach at some, you know, travel destination. You know, Cancun, Cabo. What's the one right outside of Cancun? Cozumel.
You know, so you just go to like the cruise ship places is where you go.
Yeah. Not on purpose, the cruise ship, but just the... It's got to be by a beach, you know, right on the beach. It's got to be fairly cheap. Otherwise, I can't go, you know, that kind of place.
I have been to Mexico twice. Once was an extended stay in Cabo. And another was me illegally crossing the border when I was at my friend's in Hidalgo, Texas.
Nice.
Whenever I was in college, back whenever, I guess... You wouldn't have gotten shot. I just thought it was funny. And so I've been about 2 feet into Mexico from this side.
You've only been to Cabo?
Yeah. So this is going to be fun.
Wow. I'm excited for you.
Document the excursion and broadcast it on the Patreon. Oh, did you freeze? I think I did. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
Okay, well, lots of stuff has happened in the news this week, Brandi Chambers. Obviously, I'm going to talk to you about the legislature because you're a dork who cares about the like intricacies of policy and stuff. But what stood out to me was a time that I had been proven right. I assumed a couple of months ago that George P. Bush may be primarying Ken Paxton, and he announced this week that is certainly something he is considering.
Yes, looky there. And I am not a Republican fan by any sort. Don't know much about him, but at this point,
he's garbage. He's not garbage or Ken Paxton.
Okay, see, that's the deal. I'm like, but that bar is pretty freaking low.
He's garbage. He's unindicted garbage, whereas Ken Paxton is indicted garbage.
Okay, so he's just early in the cycle. Of garbageness. Got it. Yeah.
See, yeah,
but just give him a run for his money. Like, I don't care. I don't care if he's garbage. I don't care whoever comes and challenges Ken Paxton. Make Ken Paxton spend some money. Make Ken Paxton grow up to understand that he's a criminal and have to deal with that. Like, somebody needs to do that. So,
it's some interesting political ramifications, right? So, if George P. Bush runs for ag commissioner, he's left land commissioner as an open seat. But then also, we get to see this play out. Now, George P. Bush is not of the ilk of the other Bushes. He is a lot further to the right than George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush and Jeb Bush. And he's Jeb Bush's son, right? But he has made a point that he is further right than them.
Is he a Trumplican?
Well, yes. Yeah, he was an endorser of Trump. But that being said, does the electorate or the general population know that or care, or is he just a Bush, right? And so we'll get to see a play out in a Republican primary of a Bush versus a Trumpublican, Ken Paxton. And does the last name Bush still carry you across a finish line in Texas?
Because here's the deal.
I would not have known this.
I mean, I would have eventually looked into him. But just with the name Bush, I assume he carries on kind of the George H.W. Bush, all those kind of politics, which to me, although not a Republican fan, they're not that bad. So,
well, you know, other than the war crimes. But But yeah, I mean, George P. Bush is much more conservative than them, and you cannot be more conservative than, you know, Ken Paxton. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Surely Republicans are tired of Ken Paxton hanging around their necks, but are they?
Kim Paxton keeps winning, they're probably not that tired. And they keep Kim Paxton keeps doing their bidding. So well, would they be so tired?
Those who aren't familiar with Attorney General Kim Paxton, he's still under indictment for securities fraud. It's now been about 5 years and he still hasn't had his trial. Only if you're AG, I suppose. He should be in a jail cell for those 5 years. Anyways, and then he is currently under FBI investigation for abuse of office and taking bribes from his donors to cover up a mistress scandal. So anyways,
wasn't he something about the donor? He was pursuing interest using the AG office for the benefit of the donor.
Yes. Wait.
Right.
Wait, I think it was a mutual benefit thing. The donor was housing his mistress to hide it from his wife.
Oh, that I did not know.
Yeah.
I just knew about the whole, he was using AG's office kind of improperly to enforce the will of a donor.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. And now he's like all controversial because he's refusing to turn over any correspondence tied to the insurrection which he attended and spoke and he was with his wife. So anyways, it's a whole ordeal, but that'll be really fun to watch. And it'll create an open seat in the land commissioner seat. For those who aren't familiar, land commissioner regulates public lands in Texas, also runs a really large public education fund. So usually people affiliate the land commissioner's office with the Alamo because they facilitate lands like the Alamo.
There you go. The Alamo office. That's what it is.
Are you going to run for attorney general, Brandy?
No, I am not going to run for attorney general.
Just thought I'd ask.
Don't want to. That's not my jam.
You could have floated it and maybe gotten a couple of press cycles out of it right now. Just been like, you know, I'm looking at it and just seeing if we could get some press.
Like everybody else.
Well, so you know, take two on that one, Brandy.
Like McConaughey. Well, I'd be a fool not to think about it, you know? Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not even thinking about it. You know, there's Thanks other for- things that I would think about way before I think about that.
You and I really could have gotten some good press coverage and you chose to piss it away.
You know, just put it on the list. Just put it on the list, Kendall.
There are two Democrats that have decided that they are running so far. Joe Jaworski out of Galveston, former mayor of Galveston. He has been serpentining the state. Also last week, Lee Merritt, a civil rights attorney out of North Texas, has announced that he would be running. I don't really have an opinion at the moment. Do you have an opinion?
And I did check. So Lee has not filed for a designation of treasurer. So he has just done a very preliminary, this is what I'm thinking about doing kind of announcement, but doesn't have a campaign in play as of right now. But
so Joe, we know that he has not.
Joe's all over the place.
Yeah. But we know that Lee hasn't raised more than $500. I mean, he could still be raising money.
He could be.
That's interesting. And we don't, I don't really, have you heard of anybody else filling out any of the other ticket spots? Oh, that's a really great segue into this week's guest. This week's guest, later we are going to have Mike Collier, who announced that he is exploring another run for lieutenant governor in 2022. So we have Mike Collier talking about running in there. Who's running for governor?
Well, allegedly, depending on your source, it is or is not Beto.
That happened you this know, week.
There's that.
So Beto, this week Beto told Gromer Jeffers of the Dallas Morning News that he would not be running for governor, and then immediately followed that news story with a, hey guys, don't count me out just yet news story. So I guess we haven't really made any progress there.
Right. So you still don't know. But if you read the wording very carefully by Beto, it says, I have no plans right now.
I'd also say you don't come out and immediately squash a story saying you're not going to run unless you're going to run.
I think he's leaving that option open. I've kind of been trying to nudge him for some information and encourage him to run. And he's been very like, right now, this is what I'm doing with Powered by the People. And that's all I want to focus on. So
and we
more power to him.
And we haven't really heard of anyone for controller, for land commissioner, for ag commissioner. I don't know how realistic it is, but I've heard two names floated for ag commissioner.
Really?
I don't think there's been any news stories. This is just kind of internal murmurings. And it is not personal conversations I had with these individuals. But I heard that Kim Olson was looking at a second bite at the apple, who was the 2018 nominee. Also right. heard that Hank Gilbert, who ran for Congress against Louie Gohmert out in East Texas, ran for ag commissioner back in 2010, that I hear he's also looking at it. So we have a couple candidates looking for ag commissioner.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the ledge right quick. What are you following, Brandy?
Right now, I am following fairly closely, obviously, the Texas version of Georgia's voter suppression bill.
It's trash.
So it's SB 7 and HB 6. SB 7 has passed out of committee and been voted on to go to the House. The House bill has, I think, as of today, the House bill was voted out of its election committee to go to the full floor of the House. So
there's some real stupid shit in that bill, Brandy.
It's not our best foot forward if we're trying to promote democracy. That's for sure.
Yeah,
seriously, folks.
So in that bill, we have the stuff that you've probably heard of, which is, trying to limit like the hours of voting. They're trying to eliminate voting at night, which I don't understand how that perpetuates fraud. Like, none of these things look at it.
Yeah, nobody's asked, okay, how does this relate to voter fraud? I have no idea. So they want to completely eliminate any sort of 24-hour voting. So you would only be allowed to vote between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. So after 7 p.m., I mean, of course, they also say that if you're in line at 7, you get to continue, to vote, but there's no open polling hours after 7 p.m. There's no mobile voting. There's no outdoor voting or some sort of it has to be at a polling location that is set. They want to eliminate drop boxes.
I don't understand what the argument is. I get the argument on the drop boxes. I don't agree with it. I'm just saying, I get that they're making the argument that they can be tampered with or you can whatever. What is the argument on you can't vote after 7?
I have no idea. That's what I don't understand. And no one's offered it. And this is what I'm I get very so irritated with some of these, press coverage. I'm like, why isn't anyone saying, okay, how does that relate to, sponsor Hughes, Briscoe Kane? How does that relate to voter fraud? And how is this keeping voter fraud from not happening? If that's your big concern, but all it really does is close off more avenues for people to be able to vote. They want to make it to where no one can be a deputy voter registrar, that only they want to make the Texas Secretary of State the only voter registrar. So, because that's real convenient.
I mean, it may be about time for Democrats to start going scorched earth and start figuring out what we can do to stop Republican voters from showing up to vote. I mean, if that's the game and that's what people are doing, I mean, we're trying to operate on this everybody has a right to vote, every citizen has a right to vote policy,
right,
where they seem to be operating on a how do we stop the other guys from voting policy. Maybe that's how we need to start operating.
But I don't know how we do that and not disenfranchise ourselves.
Maybe my brain's just not that crafty. I just think that we're just wired different. I mean, to us, it's just just let people vote.
Let them vote. If your policies are that good, and this is what kills me, is that even all the way up and down the leadership of the Republican, their big argument, and which was even stated in a Supreme Court brief to the Supreme Court, said it's all about if they don't do these different things, they would lose competitive advantage. It's all about Republicans wanting to win, and they understand that their policies are not the majority of people want. And therefore, the only way they can win is by restricting the vote and keeping people from voting. They say that. They said that in a legal opinion to the Supreme Court. How was that okay?
I just don't understand.
It's like you're admitting our policies suck and no one wants them, but as long as it keeps us in power, we're going to make sure we stay there.
I mean, I've bitched about this on the show before. I mean, that's just what they do. Like, there's never a point where they have introspection. They're like, you know what? Maybe we have some real bad ideas. Like, it's always, these are our ideas, and we are going to burn whatever we can to make sure that our ideas are what pass.
And there's no fact-checking those ideas. And there's no, like, oh, maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe there could be a different way to do it. Nah, screw it. Let's just go do it.
Also passing out of the legislature, HB 5, which is a rural broadband bill. So that's exciting that we may actually get that. Any other kind of items? I mean, there's just a lot happening. And admittedly, I'm just having a hard time following it this cycle because just how
there are seven pretty significantly damaging bills that are coming out of the House and the Senate that are what I call the further enslavement of women regarding abortion. Basically, they want it to completely outlaw abortion. And so they have several different mechanisms in which that would be. So they've got the heartbeat bill, which if you can detect a heartbeat, then you can no longer have an abortion, which is usually around 6 weeks before most people even know they're pregnant. So that would be an outright base assault on Roe v. Wade. There are several bills that some of the crazy people have put in regarding the same thing that want to do a constitutional amendment, including your old pal Bob Hall wants to do a constitutional amendment to make it completely and totally illegal to do any abortion for any reason. And that if there was any federal guidance, guideline, law, or rule or regulation countering that, that Texas officials would not be bound to enforce that. And if they did enforce it, they could be jailed.
That's not how this works. That's not how this works. You can't just say we disagree with the federal government and we trump that.
There are more than two bills that do that. That literally call for say in the bill, if federal law or Supreme Court opinions are contradictory to this, those will not be withheld. Oh, and then also on the abortion stuff, they have put in there, and these have actually passed out of committee, that anybody can sue someone for having an abortion. So let's say my next door neighbor has an abortion and it pisses me off, I can sue them. Even though it personally affects me, I have no damage. I'm not invested in any way in my neighbor's life.
Citizen DAs is essentially what it's creating.
Yep.
That's outrageous. I'm just beside myself. I don't even know.
It's very draining. It's hard to be a rational human being and look at the legislation that has been filed.
What I think is happening and why it's so bad, even though we didn't think it would be, is that I think that they are viewing 2018 as a high water mark. And 2020 proved that they may be right, that the districts we were going to be able to win are the districts we were going to be able to win. And everybody that's elected now is just saying, well, now I'm safe in a general. Like, I made it
they
past
may be
my...
saying that. I don't believe that that's the reality. But
I don't know if it's the reality, but I think that that's the way they process it. And so they're thinking, I'm safe in a general now. So now the only thing I'm concerned about is a primary. And there are no moderates. They just don't exist except for in the Democratic Party where we picked up a bunch of those seats.
Right. I totally don't disagree with you on that. It's very unfortunate. And it kills me because even like the whole thing with Biden and the new gun laws and restrictions that he's put out and the Senate and Congress's complete and total refusal to entertain any sort of responsible gun ownership, even though 90% of America wants it for some sort of background check, something. 90% of America favors that. NRA members favor it, yet they're still like, nope, not gonna do it. I don't understand how they can claim to represent anybody when they're really just representing corporate interests.
Well, you know what, Brandy? That ties into a really great ad because the sponsor for this episode is Represent Texas. Represent Texas is a PAC that's created to make sure we're recruiting quality candidates in every area of Texas. Go to representtexaspac.org to make sure you contribute and follow it and do all that good stuff because we're trying to elect people in hard places.
Yes, yes.
So another thing that happened was Mike Collier, well, we'll talk about it with Mike Collier, but another thing that happened is we found out today, which is Friday, that $1.9 billion that came from the federal government to support public schools during the pandemic was not allocated to public schools and was instead dropped into the Texas General Fund.
Thank you, Greg Abbott. Thank you, Greg Abbott.
The mismanagement is just astounding.
And the complete and total, like, we're not even going to, like, pretend to play along with the rules. We're just going to do whatever the hell we want because, you know, I'm a Republican and a Trump supporter, so.
I'm feeling a little defeated by it all. Like, I mean, it's just like, it's hard to even just watch it and what the fuck are you even going to do?
I know. I've started compartmentalizing and then like doing a deep dive into Netflix and like serial killer, you know, movies. I don't know why that's my gig. I don't want to be a serial killer, but it's a great escape, you know?
You know,
like I can deal with that emotionally better than the Texas politics, okay? That's just kind of where I'm at now.
Her arms were cut off. Her legs were cut off. Her ears were cut off.
I can deal with that a lot more, like just better emotionally. I don't know what that says about me, but that's what it is. That's the way it is. Or maybe that just is how bad Texas politics are.
Well, we will keep following what's happening in the ledge. And as things actually start to like pass and go through, we'll make sure to fill everyone in on that. But they're just now kind of starting to do all the good debating and committee work. So
yeah,
I think that's all we got for this week. But we do have a great guest that's coming up. He announced that he is intending to run for lieutenant governor in 2022. He's the 2018 nominee for lieutenant governor. Mike Collier will be joining us the week of his announcement. So that's super exciting news. What do you think about Mike, Brandy?
I love Mike. I absolutely adore Mike. I like Mike. I got to meet him in 2018 when I was on my first journey as a candidate, and he's just great. He's super duper smart, so personable, got just a great air about him. I just, every time I'm around him, I get happy and I'm just like, I like you. You're awesome. So, and I think he would be a great lieutenant governor.
He and I became really good friends when we were on the ballot because he actually like, came to my district a lot. And we, you know, if I would have won and he would have won, we would have been in the Senate together because that's what the lieutenant governor does. And so he and I were just kind of on a slate together. And so we became really good friends and we would always give stump speeches together. And he always calls me Kendall Skinner, the Lincoln of East Texas, the Lincoln of East Texas.
That's right.
He says it's because I am a good stump speaker, which I appreciate. I think it's because Lincoln is the only person who has lost more elections than me.
But he still became president. So let's not lose focus on that.
I have no interest. But anyway, so Mike Collier will be joining us after this quick break. So stick around. Maybe he'll make news since Brandy chose not to. Who knows?
Don't know what to say. I'm trying. I'll come up with something.
You could have gotten your Google hits up, Brandy. I'm going to let you reassess one more time. Brandy?
Okay, I'll think about it.
Are you going to run for attorney general this cycle?
You know, I'm thinking about it. So we'll see.
Have you been talking to your family and praying about it?
I've been praying about it, not talking to my family because I think they'd throw me out the door.
What I've mostly been thinking about is how to approach my family with this stuff.
Pretty much. It's like, it was like, are you going to run again? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, come on. I'm like, you don't understand. My husband would be like, I'm done. Get out.
You better pull a Beto. So like after this episode airs, you need to put out a press release that says, now hang on, clarification. I'm not saying that I'm not running.
I just said I'm not doing it right now. I'm not doing it right now.
Too funny. Well, stick around, guys. After this break, we're going to have Mike Collier.
See you then. Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. With us today on the show, you've seen him here before. You've been to events with him before. You've probably listened to this guy speak nonstop for the last 4 years, and now you're going to get to hear it again for another two while he fights to take Texas back from Dan Patrick, the 2018 nominee for lieutenant governor, coming back for a second bite at the apple, maybe, Mike Collier.
Yay!
Yeah, well, thank you, Kendall. There's only one Kendall. There's only one Kendall. The Lincoln Beach, Texas.
So, Mike, why would you do this again?
Well, you know the old expression that a football team never lost a game; they just ran out of time.
Well, that's
I
true.
Love that. I love
so
that.
So we got within 5 points. We were closing the gap every day. We just ran out of time. The way I look at it is, we came out of the first half down by a field goal. We've had halftime. Now we're going to go out and win this game.
Well, excellent. I was just tickled to see that you jumped in the race. Now, in 2018, you were the highest vote-getting Democrat in what, 170 counties?
172
counties. And so you do have quite the track record of overperformance as a candidate. What do you think is going to make 2020 different or 2022 different than 2018?
Well, I think a number of things. You know, I'll point to three things. First of all, my opponent. And by the way, I'm in a public place, so I'll probably just refer to him as my opponent, if that's okay.
Yeah, I think it'll work.
So a fist fight didn't start. My opponent's approval rating is declined because we're looking at one failure after another. Where do you start? The grid, COVID. I mean, have not property tax. I just got my first text yesterday. Property taxes are going up at the time. We don't have permanent funding for public education. We are not expanding Medicaid. We're taking away people's right to vote. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And so his popularity has declined quite remarkably. Point number one. Point number two. My name recognition was higher the day after the election than it was the day of the election because people woke up. It's a big state. It takes time. People woke up the next day and said, who's this? And then, of course, I was a senior advisor for the Biden campaign. So that's point number two. And then point number three, just the mere passage of time. You know, if you look at the presidential contest as a proxy, we improve our performance about 3 points in statewide races. Just through the mere passage of time, because Texans are getting tired of that nonsense, and more of them join us and forget about those guys. And then I guess there's a fourth point, which is we have a much better, much more sophisticated team. I'd love to talk about that, and that we'll be able to raise a lot more money. And so you pull all that together, there's no question it's a winnable race.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have done it otherwise. Listen, nobody's got more skin in the game than me. I've looked at the numbers like you can't believe. I wouldn't do this if I didn't think it was winnable.
Well, I believe it's winnable. It's totally winnable. But here's what I want to know, Mike. What, out of all these different positions that you could have run for, all the wealth, why the lieutenant governor position? Why that? Why not the governor? Why not any other position? I want to know why that position is the one you wanted to go for.
Well, it's a wonderful question, Brandy, and I'll tell you why. There's a handful of things that I'm really, really passionate about. And that's the position where you can do something about it, public education, right? If you want to find permanent funding for our schools and deal with the property tax problem, and the two come together, Lieutenant Governor's the one that can do it. I think only the Lieutenant Governor can do it. Take the work in terms of health care, expanding Medicare, it's the Lieutenant Governor. Criminal justice, I mean, anything that the legislature does, it starts with the effort, passion, the energy of the Lieutenant Governor. And so that's the job. It's a working job. You know, you're not required to live in a lonely mansion. You don't ride in anywhere near as many parades. People don't recognize who you are. You get to wander back to the house, spend time with your friends in the neighborhood. But get things done. And that's really what motivates me to do this.
You know, in the last election, the big difference between you and Dan Patrick, I mean, other than you being just a generally smart person and him being a complete buffoon, was the topic of public education. But it seems that this year, the big separation is going to be whether or not we should just let old people die if it helps the economy. Do you agree that we should just let old people die if it helps the economy? Or would you consider yourself anti?
No, I'd like to see people live. I'd like to see people live. I'll forget Dan Patrick in the middle. I said his name, so we'll see if a fight breaks out. my opponent, I'll never forgive or forget how in the middle of a pandemic where people are frightened, and he goes on Fox News, just try to make headlines, just try to look at me, and says old people ought to, whatever it was, don't want to be misquoted, but old people ought to just die. Well, guess what? A lot of them did. A lot of young people, too. A lot of families have been shattered. I mean, it's just unconscionable. It's just unconscionable. I would have done things much, much, much differently. You know, I think communicating. If Texans understood you wear a mask and you keep your distance to protect the other guy, don't politicize it. You know, big, strong, I'm not afraid of anything. Let me show you how brave I am. I'm not afraid of the virus. You think people just misunderstood. You're not protecting yourself. You're protecting the other guy. Texans would have done much more. And so just giving, we're confronted with the same thing now with vaccines, right? It's free country, decide to take the vaccine or don't, but people need to have good information and motivation. You got to motivate people, give them good information. And they aren't doing it. They're politicizing everything. And how many deaths are attributed to politicizing this pandemic? It's just unconscionable. And Texans know it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sure.
So, you know, you have quite a grasp on the budget, like most folks don't. I mean, it's pretty impressive. What are you seeing in this upcoming legislative session that you're excited about? What are you seeing that you're a little disappointed in and that we can hopefully fix in the next session whenever you're Lieutenant Governor?
Well, you know, so before COVID hit, I studied the budget. I didn't think that they put money into public education because we nearly whooped them. And so they put more money in education to make sure that they keep the house in the district, et cetera. But I never trusted that it was permanent. And so before COVID, I looked at the budget and it wasn't permanent. And the money that they put in the last session took right back out by not funding growth. And of course, they're very, very misleading. They ran around and said, well, you can count on us. We kept it right where it was. Well, if you don't fund growth, then you're going backwards. And oh, by the way, that was before the health bill. The healthcare bill that's presented to the state came due. And so coming into COVID, I was very concerned about whether or not they were going to be able to sustain public education. Of course, now COVID hits and that changes everything. Now, here's the good news with COVID, which is that everybody needs emergency funding. Every state, every school district, every city, every county. And we have an administration that understands that. And so we, you know, the emergency funding coming from the federal government is the smartest thing we could possibly do. Yes, it adds to the cost approach to solving this problem. So the question then becomes how much of that federal money intended for schools makes it into schools. And there's plenty of things. We've already seen mischief. Abbott was sent $1.9 billion for schools. Instead, he put it in the state coffers. There was a letter that was written by Charles Butt. You know, Charles Butt, CEO of HEB, he's very much pro public education. It just came out this morning, or at least I just discovered it this morning, saying the money intended for schools should go into schools. So the legislature isn't done. They're still making the sausage. They might do right by Texans and put that money where it needs to be in public education. Now, I want to come back to that. When we get to the other side of COVID, and now we're back to ordinary Texas, we still have a problem with funding that's permanent for public education because we have revenue systems at the state that Republicans are deliberately declining. And guess who's getting the breaks and causing all these difficulties? The corporate interests. We know that. So we have to strike at the heart of it. But I want to say one thing about this federal money and the fact that there's still time in the legislative session. There's a couple of reasons why a candidate might launch as early as I did. And one of them was to make sure that they know I'm coming after them, depending on what they do, so that they do right. You know, if I was pure politics, like my opponent, Dan Patrick, I might be tempted to just sit in the weeds, let them plant all these seeds, and then come back and say, look at the terrible things that you guys did. But people would get hurt. People would get hurt. So instead, I'm telling them, if you do this with SB7, for example, if you do this with HB6, if you sign that into law, we're coming after you. Because there's going to be a tidal wave of people who care about democracy, patriots, we're going to come after you. So don't do it, guys. Take that money and put it in. This is your chance. You know, this is your chance. Otherwise, we're coming after you.
Well, Mike Collier may be running for lieutenant governor in 2022. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come on Pod Bless Texas with us today. If people wanted to follow you and your exploratory campaign, where could they go to do that?
Well, so exploratory becomes a real campaign when I'm sure everybody really wants me to do this. I'm doing this. I mean, I am doing this. Unless there's a better answer for our state. We'll know in a few months. I don't think so. I'm not aware of anybody else. But if you want to, you know, join this and turn exploration into a passion and commitment and a win, callyourfortexas.com.
Very good.
I want you to run. I want you to do this. I've already donated. Get your butt out there. Well,
thank you.
On and bring it. We have got to get rid of Dan Patrick, and you're the guy for it. I know it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you for your support.
No problem.
Well, we appreciate you for coming on, Mike, but you don't get to leave yet, because before you go, you've done this before, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsessed! Obsessed, where each of us will talk about one new story from the week, whether it's politics or it wasn't, that we've been completely obsessed with. And usually we start this segment with Lily and Salerno, but she's not here. So I guess we'll start it with Brandy Chambers. Brandy, what's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
You know, I am completely obsessed with the Texas Tribune. I am just so, and there's nothing going on with them. It's just they have become my source for reliable information regarding the state of Texas, what's going on in the legislature. They offer an unbiased, unfiltered, you know, honest look at both sides of the coin. And in this age of disinformation and cray-cray and wackadoo, I can rely on the Texas Tribune to give me perspective and reality. And so I check it every morning, I check it every afternoon. This is what I need in my life.
It's really easy to take the Tribune for granted, but those of us that followed the ledge before the Tribune existed knows that it's a pretty great source. Them and the Quorum Report, I mean, they're like where it happens.
I love it. I can rely on it every day to get up to the minute, absolutely what's going on. No filter, no BS. Love it.
Good stuff. Good obsessed, Brandy Chambers. Mike Collier, the presumptive Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor in 2022. What's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
I am obsessed with our shared democratic values, which I am absolutely convinced is the majority of us. All we have to do is win. And then we can live our democratic values, which will be a terrific day, wouldn't it? That's what I'm obsessed with.
What are those values?
Where do you start? Women's right to choose?
Pick one value.
Black Lives Matter. Democracy.
So anyway, it's good obsessed, Mike Collier. I guess all of that ties into my obsessed this week. I could not stop watching the new QAnon documentary that is on HBO, Q, Inside the Storm. I binge watched it this week. You know, I was thinking about QAnon some while it was happening. I kind of, at first it was laughable, and then they had an armed insurrection against the government. It wasn't funny anymore. But all the time that we were thinking about it, I was thinking it would be someone like Steve Bannon or Roger Stone or Michael Flynn. Like, that's kind of just who rotated through my head. Never in my mind did it even occur to me that it was just some dork that ran 4chan. I don't know why that never even occurred to me, but watching this documentary on HBO just made me pissed as hell, because literally all that the president was doing was hanging out on 8chan for 4 years and regurgitating stuff he sees on message threads. And it's just absolutely ludicrous. And so I've been obsessed with QAnon this week and the idea that it's just some random dude in the Philippines and not Steve Bannon.
Nice. I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to watch it.
Well, spoiler, that's what all happens. And that's what I've been completely obsessed with this week. And that was upset. Yeah. Mike Collier, thank you for taking time off of the campaign trail to come on our scrappy little podcast. One more time, if people want to follow you or your presumptive campaign, where can they go to do that?
Collier4Texas.com, all spelled out.
Collier4Texas.com.
FORTEXAS.com.
Well, get out there, shake babies, kiss hands, and get votes. We need you to win. Best of luck to you in your race, Mike.
Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you. Take care.
Brandy, if people wanted to follow you, where would they go to do that?
You know, that's a good question. You can still go to Brandy for Texas on Facebook and all the social media, but I'm just kind of, you know, hanging out in the background for right now. So
bit of a hermit at the moment?
Not exactly that.
Do what, Mike?
Brandy, very nice to see you. Channel, I'm going to go. So I can
very good.
My next day.
Awesome. Thank we'll you. See you soon, Mike.
All right.
Brandy, if people wanted to follow you, where would they go to do that?
You can go to Brandy for Texas on any social media platform. Pretty much, I am still there. I'm not as active as I used to be when I was a candidate, but you know, that's if they want to get a hold of me, that's where I am.
And you're still for Texas? You haven't given up?
I am still for Texas, you know, and I will continue to fight for Texas till my dying breath, probably. So there you go. And the way it's going these days, that might not be too far off.
I feel like I have a bit of a lover's quarrel with Texas.
I hear you. It's a family relationship. You always love family, but you're not always happy with them, right?
Yeah, hundo P.
So 1,000%.
And if people wanted to follow me, they can follow me on all the social medias at Kendall Scudder, except for Parler. I don't post there, if that still exists.
Exactly. Does it? I don't know. I've never been on it. I don't even know where to find it.
You can follow Pod Bless Texas on all the social medias too, at Pod Bless Texas. Subscribe to us in your Apple store. Do all the ratings, all the things, all the Patreons, the merch store. There's all kinds of stuff. There's a whole Pod Bless Texas world out there outside of this. You should just Google it, guys, and just dive in.
Look into it. Yeah.
Who knows? Well, on behalf of myself, Brandy, absent Lillian, and the entire Pod Bless Texas team, until we see you next week, y'all have a blessed week.
Bye-bye.